on the phone from his home on WIP. It's the WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we're at Chickie's in South Philly. Perfect place for a pregame, in-game, or postgame snack for this weekend's Eagles preseason game. The official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles, that is Chickie's and Pete's. Elliot Shore Parks joins us, who is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, before we get going on the Eagles stuff, first of all, your opinion, how much blame does Rob Thomson deserve for the current Phillies slide?
Not much. I mean, if at all. Like, this is definitely just on the team, on the players. And it's just, this is who they are. I think we talked ourselves, and it's actually kind of sad. Like, I think we convinced ourselves that they were different than the Sixers. They were different than the Eagles. This team is clutch. We can count on them. In reality, what they are is they're just a pretty good team that got hot twice, and we have to hope they get hot again. But they're no different than anything like that.
Jack, your thoughts?
Another great point. So, Elliot, what do you think about training camp now that it's over?
Okay, all right. Wow, Jack just changing the topic. What do you think about training camp?
I will say a few people at practice came up to me and asked how you were handling the Phillies. So
yeah. Everyone's aware that I'm always, you know, one step closer to the bridge with every loss.
Yeah. and actually, before we get to camp and Eagles stuff, I haven't heard you say anything about fantasy. Now, we're filling out the...
He hates fantasy.
The afternoon show, Fantasy Football League. You hate fantasy? Is that the bit?
So I was in the fantasy league 1 year at work, and I just didn't... I didn't take it seriously enough, let's put it that way. So I don't think I'll be repeating my role in the fantasy league.
Wow. Well, Rob made me. Not only am I in our league, I'm in the station league as well. Maybe he just doesn't...
Let me give you some advice.
Yeah.
Don't set your lineup a week or two, and they won't make you next year, I promise you.
No, so. I can't be that. Anything I do, unfortunately, I do too much. So Eagles make a big trade yesterday, trade for Jahan Dotson. You know, we heard from Brian Mitchell yesterday, who said there were clearly some attitude and, I think, motivational problems in Washington. He might have even gotten cut if they didn't find somebody to trade for him. Do you think he walks in here and is for sure wide receiver 3 in opening day in Brazil?
Definitely. I don't think there's any question. I mean, A, he's definitely the third best receiver on the roster. I mean, the guys he's competing with, Paris Campbell did have a nice offseason. I was impressed by him in OTAs, but he missed so much of training camp. I think it's hard for him to have that spot locked down. But outside of that, he's competing with Johnny Wilson, a rookie who's missed a week with a concussion, John Ross, who, you know, probably won't make the team, Britton Covey, who has had a great camp, but I don't think they're going to put him out there. So you don't trade a third-round pick and then have the guy compete with Britton Covey for snaps. So he will be out there for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious at the, I guess, the urgency to get this done with a guy the caliber of a Jahan Dotson. The only reason why I say that is because, from all reports, Saquon's going to catch the ball a lot out of the backfield. You got Dallas Goedert there. Like, is it worth it? Are you going to get the amount of production out of him that you want from a third wide receiver when you have so many different mouths to feed?
So I think, you know, if you're expecting him, or if anyone's expecting him to get 50 catches and 500 yards, that's probably not going to happen. I think Jahan Dotson becomes worth the pick if he checks two boxes. One, if he just makes the most of the opportunities that come his way. Like, the third wide receiver, I agree, is not a big part of the offense, but people were pretty upset when Quez was here because the one or two targets he got a game, he didn't make the most of them, and they really stand out. So I think just an upgrade on that could be worth it. But where it's truly worth it is he has played on the outside a lot. If you look at his career, he's viewed as a slot receiver coming in here, but he's played almost twice as many snaps in his career on the outside. So what this really is it's also an insurance policy for AJ or Devon. If one of them were to go down for a long stretch or even a game or two, Dotson at least has experience lining up on the outside, beating one of the top two guys, and he's been fairly productive considering the quarterbacks he has. So I think this is more about that than it is, you know, getting almost 1,000 yards out of him or something like that.
Well, I mean, I love the fact that he's here, and you're right about that. I think we're not reading this right if we're expecting that level of production. But I'm just looking at the importance of the Eagles feeling the need to go do this. This says a lot to me about what they expect to do with the offense, which is you're going to put the ball up in the air. Like, they're going to throw the ball with Jalen Hurts out there. I think for some of us, they may have thought, you know, Saquon was going to rush for X amount of yards. We may have to look at Saquon in a total yardage package versus how many rushing yards he gets.
I would even look at Saquon over a total yardage thing over 2 years, because they're thinking about, you know, you rush him 18
times a game. Well, certainly it's not a one-year deal.
Sure. I mean, they want 2 good years out of Saquon. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, training camp, and I don't know if this is the best indication, because I don't think it'll be exactly like this in the regular season. But if you look at the touches he got in training camp, it was almost 50-50 with catches and run and rushes. So he was definitely very involved in the passing game for sure. Yep.
So you brought up the other question I was going to ask about Dotson, because he has played more outside in Washington than he did here. Now, obviously, you haven't seen him practice with the team yet. But based on what you've seen in other practices with AJ and Devontae, how often were those guys in the slot? Because I know early in camp we were talking about maybe having those guys line up there more often.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's likely that we see AJ in the slot more, maybe even see Devontae in the slot more, having a third wide receiver that can play outside?
Definitely. One thing that AJ and Devontae have talked about with what they like with the offense is there is more freedom for them to line up in different places. I think last year what Nick and Brian Johnson did was basically you line up the same way and then you do a different play out of that formation. And towards the end of the year, obviously that didn't work great. I think that in camp this year, there's been much more movement. They've been in bunch formations, they've been in slot, they've been in their shooters still out wide positions. So I definitely think one of the reasons, again, they like Dotson is because you look at, some of the other slot receivers we talked about, they were more strictly slot guys. I think they view him as having more versatility to fill in for an AJ on the outside if they want to put AJ in the slot.
Is there someone that you've seen in camp that you think is going to make the roster that will surprise people?
Yeah, so I think a name people should get to know is EJ Jenkins, the tight end. He was his first year with the team. I thought he had a really good camp. I thought was the second best receiving tight end that they had in camp. Calcaterra was probably right there with him, but Calcaterra was more of like a Zach Ertz over the middle possession guy. I think EJ Jenkins is closer to Goddard in what he can do with the ball and the way that they can use him. They already cut CJ Uzomah, so they're already down one tight end. Albert O has missed a bunch of time. I think there's a good chance they probably just keep 2 tight ends. But if they keep a third, EJ Jenkins, I think, will be that tight end.
Let's face it, E, it's the third preseason game tomorrow. There's one player we all want to see. Quite frankly, this game wouldn't even matter if he wasn't playing in this game tomorrow. And that's Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
What are we going to see out of Cooper tomorrow? Do you think we're going to see more in that nickel position? Will he get some outside corner reps? Will he get to do some punt returning tomorrow? I'm wondering, it's going to be his first preseason action, and he's like a Swiss Army knife on defense. How do you expect him to be used tomorrow?
Yes, I think there's 2 things I'm looking for from Cooper tomorrow, and I agree. He is the player to watch the most of a few players, but he's got the most going for him tomorrow. One is just physically, how does he look? Recovering from that hamstring injury, does he look fast out there? How is he with tackling? How is he moving? Just physically, how has he been? Because he hasn't taken a ton of team reps since coming back. I would guess he's maybe 30 team reps, 40 team reps, something like that. So not a ton. But the second thing, to your point, is where are they? I think he will be in the nickel role predominantly. If they want to play him like all game to really get him going, maybe then you could see him on the outside at different times. But I think they view him as a nickel right now, because one thing they've started to do in camp as it wound down is when there were only 2 corners on the field, they moved Quinyon to the outside. So the 2 top corners on the roster going into week 1 are definitely Slay and Quinyon. And so if they want to get Cooper on the field, it's going to be in that nickel role. That's how you'll see him.
Did you just say Quinyon Mitchell is with the first team?
Yeah, so when they've been doing a base defense, which granted they won't run a ton, there will be nickels out on the field a lot.
Sure.
But when there's only 4 defensive backs, 2 safeties, 2 corners, the 2 corners have been Slay and Quinyon. And
then when they go to nickel, a big That's a, yeah, because we were all thinking Isaiah Rodgers, I think, yeah. and maybe even Ringo. Whoa, right. So hearing that it's Mitchell, that's big news.
Yeah, I mean they'll play a lot because when they're in nickel, Quinyon will move to nickel, and right. Isaiah Rodgers and Keeley will come out. But when they're only in a two wide receiver, sorry, two corner set, it's yeah. going to be Quinyon. So that's probably one of the biggest developments of camp over the past 2 weeks, I would say. You know, going into camp, it was, well, where's Quinyon going to play? Is he going to spend a year kind of redshirting? You know, how are they going to get him out there? Are they going to be creative? It ended up, in my opinion, he earned the role of starting on the outside. I don't think they handed it to him. He improved as camp went on. So, yeah, he'll be, like, week one snap, I think he'll be right there with Clay.
Just a little tip for you. Base defense.
What was I saying?
Two corners on the defense.
Well, I said base a bunch of times, so I figured I would switch it up and say two corners.
No, just stick with base defense. Yes.
Okay, I was trying to simplify it for us.
Well, base defense base defense is four defensive backs. Nickel is right. Five. Dime is six. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that, Jack.
Well, you're the expert. I just wanted to put that out there for you.
Yeah. I think of
Elliot as more of a baseball expert than a football expert.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. He's dynamite on baseball.
Maybe even a movie expert.
Definitely a movie expert. So, Elliot, my only question is, do you think that if the Eagles were in the right to unretire Brent Celek's number for Jahan Dotson?
So I don't think he's going to wear 87. My prediction is he will wear number 13. I know he's wearing 87 right now.
Why'd you just throw 13 out there? He wore one. Well,
13 may be coming open.
You think he's going to take Jalen's number? So I don't think he's
going to. Well, no. I was like, how'd you just throw out 13 out of nowhere?
Well, I'll tell you how. Because yesterday I spent time. I looked at every number on the roster. I thought who could get cut, what numbers would look good on them, what ones are going to be available. And I think 13 is the best option. Will Greer is going to get cut. I definitely think he's more of a teens guy. Ideally single digit, but that's not going to happen with how their numbers are set up. So once they cut Will Greer, I think he will take 13. And he should. I don't think 87 is a good number for him.
Yeah, this is how much I've progressed. I grew up in the era of the 80s numbers.
Yes.
That's all wide receivers wore. I don't want to see a wide receiver with 80. Only one who looks good with 80 is CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
He does look
good. You've got to be tall. Tall to be in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, big guy with an 81.
Yeah, that's the old school. I like the teen numbers.
Oh,
I like
really?
The teen and the single digits.
Yeah. Like John Ross looks really small in 83. Like extra small in the 83.
Yeah.
But, like, come on, respect Brent Celek.
Respect Brent Celek.
That's a Super Bowl champ.
Put a big 87 on one of his buildings that he owns.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's worn 87.
They have not. Giving out 87 since Celek.
Well, Elliot.
It's good to know the Eagles respect their players, unlike the Phillies, who just hand out number 35 willy nilly like that.
Well, you're right, it's fair.
You might have a point there. Well, Elliot, I just wanted to let you know I asked ChatGPT about your Back to the Future question, and it did agree with you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, so.
I'm correct. It's not his mom. So it's,
I'm actually scared of saying the word again, so I don't want to say the word again. But if you were listening to the show a couple of days ago, know that ChatGPT agreed with Elliot's position about Marty McFly going back in time and meeting up with his mother.
And again, not that he should, just that he could.
All right. Well, you can listen to Elliot every day on the Go Birds podcast and Go Birds Radio tomorrow.
Well, there's an Eagles game at 1:00.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, I will be on the pregame.
We'll be on a pregame show tomorrow. Yes,
pregame tomorrow.
Wow. And who's hosting it?
Yeah, I think it's Glenn and Ike, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. All right, Elliot. All right, thanks, man. You can listen to Go Birds podcast every day. By the way, we do have a big announcement coming up at 4:00, a huge station announcement. It will happen during the Mount Rush 4, though, because the big announcements for the station have to work around our bits. 215-592-9494. How much blame does Rob Thompson deserve for the current Philly slide? Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What up, Chuck?
Yeah, the Philly suck. All right, that's my sports point.
Okay.
But I'm calling up to address one thing, right? And that's fraud from the LGBT community vice president, okay? Of that corny-ass Winch Club. She don't call up but one time a year. One time.
Yeah.
And gets right into the league. You know what I mean? She's bad eyes. She woo you guys with a soft voice. You know what I'm saying? Soften you guys up like a pop tart. You know what I'm saying? You guys up there and let her in the league. This is a doggone shame. This is supposed to be a show of accountability. I didn't hear. Where was she at on Mount Rushmore week? Where was she at when we were, rigging out who was the best athlete in the city.
Where was she at when I was walking to my car after Chickies, scared that Chuck might be behind me?
Exactly. Where was she at when we had our feed?
Yeah.
Where was she at? One time a year, and then she gets right in. And you guys want to let my boy Yoshi wait to the end of the, end of the show? Come on, man. It is a show of accountability. Listen, I tell you, and she's a winch lover. Come on, man.
Hold on. Well, what's wrong with that?
I'm doing the whole show with Wentz lovers every day.
Yeah. I will say, Chuck, you're bringing up valid points, though.
No,
valid points.
100%
valid. Valid points.
Valid points.
This is why I recuse myself from actually having to be in this. I'm just here.
You are unbelievable.
Any foxhole gal, or any foxhole, the show is about foxholes, right?
Well, but hold on. You call the morning show now. You call the midday show now. Where's your foxhole stat?
He's an afternoon shows, man. He's
I know,
he's trying to
spread his wings, and I don't like that.
Tell him out. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing, right? You ain't talking about me right now, all right? And let me tell you, I'm keeping it all in the family. I ain't never called another radio station, and I ain't never not called this show. I was calling the afternoon show in the morning show when I had my little hiatus from, you know, and then talk to Spike about that. That's his fault, okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's not go backwards.
But it's not my fault.
Mike, kick me off the afternoon show.
No.
All right.
That is actually not true, Chuck. That is not true. I've never kicked anyone off this show. That's not true. What happened was you started sending text messages to my cell phone threatening to hurt me. So our boss said maybe Chuck should settle down. I never got you off the show. Not one time. And when you started calling again, I put you right on the air. So if you've got a problem with Kimberly, that is fine. But I didn't do anything wrong to you, buddy.
And Wentz is the GOAT.
Well, they brought it up, so I had to put it on somebody, and you was the culprit. I picked you under the bus. But, you know what I mean? Listen, you know, I got to call a spade. She's not a foxhole gal.
That's a fair point.
She is. She just took a little bit of a break. She took a little bit of a break. She doesn't call any other show.
I don't care about that, man. You don't hear from her one time a year. You about to call Leslie up. My girl Leslie. You go get her some healthy in the league. I mean, at least my man goes.
Well, I would never let Leslie in the league.
She's been doing the down month. But Kimberly called up here one time a year. Only one time. And she's going to disappear again for another 6 months. And you guys hope you aren't broken. Once again, because she utilized the show just to be a part of a football fantasy. And that's a damn
football fantasy. I forgot about
not
that.
Not a foxhole.
It's a good point, Chuck. Chuck.
Flag on that.
Chuck, you make valid points. Yeah. I think all valid points. I don't know that there's anything we can do about it yet. Valid, but I will say this about Chuck's call.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, I've only been here for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I rely on you guys to a certain extent. Now, Kimberly made a good move yesterday by saying that somebody else should get it.
Yes.
I thought she had a fair call today. But it is fair to say that I've been on the show since April 16th, and that's the first time I heard from Kimberly. It's just a fair point from Chuck is all I'm saying.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
I told y'all it was a fair point. But the fact of the matter is she is a part of the show because she's a during the football season caller. That's what she calls. She doesn't call during the other parts
so
of the year.
So it's not just fantasy.
No,
she calls,
no. Oh, she's okay. Gonna, she, yeah, believe me, no. She's a football fan. She's going to call all year long.
Okay.
Every week. She is a afternoon show.
Yeah.
She is part of the family.
Well,
yeah.
she's also been a fabric of the show the last couple of years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, see, here's
you.
The thing.
Yeah.
As the elder statesman on the show.
Absolutely.
The LTBB carries a lot of weight.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
Like an anchor.
Yeah.
Like a weight on your back you got to drag around.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love all of you out there. And I know the majority of you were in the LTBB. And it's okay that you've moved on. But then there are those of us that were never moving on. Ever.
Yeah, I don't think you are actually moving on. Yeah.
Well, I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, yep.
Every last one of them. They'll tell you. Why do you think they bring it up?
They're proud of it, Spike.
Yeah, they're proud of it.
And think about this, Spike.
Aaron from Mount Airy.
Yes.
LTBB.
I can sniff him out.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And think about this. Carson should sue the Eagles for what the weapons they've given Jalen Hurts.
No lies.
Versus
seriously.
The weapons that
That's
they gave
straight
him.
Straight malpractice.
All I know is another quarterback won a Super Bowl with those weapons.
What weapons? Not with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and, Nelson and
Alshon Jeffrey and Corey Clement.
That was 1 year.
Well, won the Super Bowl.
He played 3 years after that.
Well,
what they do after that?
Yeah, it was 3 years after that. No, we're not going down.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
There was no talent on his roster. It's not even a debate. There was no talent on his roster offense.
They were 4-8.
Yeah, Josh Adams is our running back, not Saquon Barkley.
Had 4-8, had a fake injury to Carson, and then somebody else came in and led him to the playoffs.
I don't care about that. All right. I'm talking about when they got rid of – when they brought in young receivers. It was J.J., it was Jalen Reagor, it wasn't Devontae, it wasn't A.J. Brown, it wasn't all this.
Well, thank God we got Nick Sirianni here, CEO, who told them which receivers to go get.
That's a great point.
Yep.
I've often said that. Was that not his specialty?
It has to be, right? Somebody's obviously – Howie doesn't know how to draft wide receivers.
Exactly.
You know?
And he got Saquon here.
Who, Nick?
Nick Sirianni.
He did.
Yeah. CEO coach.
Now, that one goes to Howie. That's a paycheck.
Well, yeah, that one goes to Jeffrey, actually. Yes. That one goes to the number 36.
Yes. And I was writing a check there, buddy.
All right. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show. Oh, are we going to do?
Chuck would be mad that the VP.
I know.
Yeah. It popped up right away. I love his anger toward her because she sounds very nice. And Chuck coming out going, absolutely not. She sucks. It's great. It's a great Chuck call. And I never banned him from the show. I just want to be clear to that.
Yeah, we didn't mean for it to go down that road.
Well, by the way,
I didn't ban him.
Good growth from Chuck there.
Yes.
He could have torpedoed that whole thing.
He did, but he didn't.
And he got his way out.
I appreciate Chuck's growth. I appreciate, but I did not ban him from the show.
And that's the thing, Chuck. Sometimes you just got to get out of here, man. Yeah, you just got to get your point in and move on out.
If there's one person on this show you should take advice from, it's me.
Yeah.
All I do is get in and out.
Yeah. That's why people love you so much.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Well,
wait till football season.
All right, coming up next. Nick Foles.
Yeah, you know he's a revenge guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yes.
Don't go too hard on him with the Phillies because he has a microphone.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Nick Foles takes you through the Philly special about what happened before, why they decided to call the play, and why he decided to call it Philly instead of the Philly special, which is what it's actually called. And we will see if Jack can survive a High Hopes Jackie Baseball report.
He's not going to be able to survive this Nick Foles segment.
Yeah, I know.
I told you, I'm pro Foles now.
Okay, I don't know about that.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Book your fantasy football party at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles and the home of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Draft.
Come on, Spike, sing it if you know it.
No. My favorite thing about Springsteen concerts.
Machine.
Is that they're like 4 hours long, and everybody pretends that they want to be at a concert for 4 hours. Nobody wants to be at a concert for 4 hours. Even an artist you love.
Yeah, no.
Give me a good hour 50, hour 30 maybe.
Play the hits.
Yeah, play the hits. Get out of there.
I mean, if you got enough hits and you're doing a good show.
2 hours maybe, but Springsteen 3+.
Yeah, because I'm imagining, but there's probably an intermission in there somewhere, right? No. Just keeps playing.
Yeah.
Well, I need a break.
Yeah,
how's he going to tire out? He was like, isn't he like 70 now?
74.
Give me like a 30-minute break. Yeah. Just.
No, man. This is a little much. It's a WIP Afternoon Show. Spike, Ike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Perfect place for a pregame, in-game, or postgame snack for this weekend's Eagles preseason game, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Talking about Topper, how much blame does he deserve? I think he's getting too much. I think it's the players, and basically, I think it's sort of who they are, and that is hard for people to accept.
Well,
yeah, and you do keep saying it, and it does just hit me in the deep gut.
Yeah,
you know, what
I don't
mean?
Like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
What? That it's who they are?
Yeah.
Not that they're bad, just that they're.
What are you saying?
Pretty good. I'm saying that even it's funny. I spent all that time saying. Blah to like this is it's just baseball, it's just baseball, it's just baseball. But you're gonna have the first 2 months they had things even out, and I think the mistake was our preseason stuff of 96-97 because that's what we were saying before this season.
Yeah,
season even started.
You guys bullied them into trying to start fast.
Well, I
We bullied them into trying to start fast.
Bullied them?
Yeah. I think it was necessary.
Yeah, do not put it on us.
Well, would you rather have...
Well, they're the ones who said they want to win the division.
Know. Yeah, I know.
They're probably going to win it just in excruciating fashion.
I don't know if I go probably anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, they're only seven and a half games out of a playoff spot.
Out of not making the playoffs, yeah. You mean? Well, yeah. That's terrifying. Scott in Newtown. You're on WIP. What up, Scott?
Yo, guys. Yo. Yeah, dude. Springsteen, I could do without him always. Spike, did you ever go to the Rock the Bells tours in Randall's Island? It was Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang Clan.
No, I know Rock the Bells, but I never went to any of those shows. The only time I saw Rage three different times, one Lollapalooza, one on their own, and then one in Madison Square Garden, but never saw Rock the Bells.
All right, I just figured maybe it was something you did. It was funny because Wu-Tang, Rage got booed off the stage for Wu-Tang, which was surprising to me. But whatever, man, like, with the Phillies, like, I think you're right, they are who they are. But, like, who they are is a first-place team. And, like, as frustrated as I am, it's like, come on, man. All day on the radio, I freaking hear everyone saying that they're dead and they don't have a chance. Like, the beginning of the season wasn't just, like, 100% luck. Like, everything was clicking, I realized. But to act like they're dead is just, I don't know, it seems asinine to me. Like, they have the second-best odds to win the World Series. So clear. And I know all the odds are about the same in the top 10. But, like... We're still there, man. It's just so freaking frustrating. And, like, when it comes to Topper, I like the mentality of keeping it cool and keeping it calm. And, like, honestly, in my life, I try to do that, and it seems rewarding to me. But every once in a while, man, show some freaking fire and just show you're pissed off a little bit, maybe, you know? And, like, and also, like, when people call in and they're like, oh, he's driving a Cadillac. Well, he is driving a Cadillac. And the one thing that does show is, like, only getting two RBIs off a pinch hit all season. Like, that is kind of just being complacent and just, like, letting the team run the team, you know? So.
Baseball's also changed, though. I mean, like, some other teams have, like, more platoon options. Like, it's not like where they had a pitcher batting ninth. You know what I mean? Like,
there's less opportunity to pinch hit now than there was. This is the thing I'm curious
about. But a team that scores over 600 runs should have more than.
Yeah, two RBIs.
Two
yes,
of them
yes,
100%.
Yeah. The thing I'm curious about, I'm curious to ask you guys, is, all right, Topper, Rob Thomson, personality type, is who he is. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think part of the reason they've had success the last couple of years is because of who he is, especially with this roster. If going crazy, getting yourself thrown out, flipping over a table, if it's not who he is, I wonder if he forced it, if the team would just look at him sideways. You know, I wonder if because he is who he is, maybe he doesn't, not that he doesn't have it in him, I'm sure he could fake it, but I wonder if it even makes a difference to anyone,
right?
Because they would know that it is not who he is.
It's like
is.
Doug getting pissed off.
Right. That doesn't, this is not who he is.
Like when he called Angelo?
Yeah.
Well, that was.
A pissed off.
Yeah.
Pissed off, Angelo.
Yeah.
What about Doug? Pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I just think, like, everybody has it in them occasionally. Like, I'm so good to my boys, right? My two boys, I'm a good dad. I do all the things. I'm the most fun dad. But, like, then there's a time that they know that dad can get freaking mad, you know? I just think, like, you got to put a spark somewhere. And I do think the bats will come alive. And I think the number one thing to blame is top four hitters. Like, every season, like, when we talk about the trade deadline and it's like, oh, we can add one more bat. Like, one more bat's not going to do anything if our best guys can't hit the freaking ball. So it's, like, really up to these four guys in the top of the lineup. And
well, the question is, Scott, whether these four guys are good enough. And they're going to have to – thank you for the call. They're going to have to decide on that at some point. When they're thinking about what they're putting their money into. Because if every year we are terrified that the best hitters on the team are going to go cold for three straight weeks at the wrong time, potentially, you might have to ask yourself, have we built the team the right way? And have we given the money to the right guys? Because you can't spend that much money on your lineup and just sort of say, well, this is what they do every year. Well, then... why are those the guys that we're paying? Like, why are we putting together a team of all streaky hitters? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you have to say to yourself, if they do it every year, why am I expecting it to be different at any time. Well, you know,
I would say that it's a little unfair because I don't think we can take the World Series alone and the games six and seven of the NLCS and say that's who they are. What about all the clutch hits they had to get them to those moments? I remember the big home runs that Bryce Harper hit in the NLDS against the Padres, against the Braves. Look at Bryce Harper's numbers against the Braves in the 8 playoff games that he's had against the Braves in the last 2 years when they've had the best team in baseball. You got to remember, when they got to the NLCS in the World Series, they weren't the favorite. They took down teams that were better. They needed big hits from Kyle Schwarber, from Rhys Hoskins in 2022, last year Bryce Harper, the year before Bryce Harper. So I think it's a little unfair to take the fact that they got cold in the World Series, particular batters. Trey, we look at that series against the Diamondbacks and Trey Turner stopped hitting. What about what Trey Turner was doing leading up to that? Look at his batting average leading up to that.
I agree, but it might be the reason why you never have a team that you think is the best team in baseball, and it might be why if you're building around these guys every year,
because I would say this,
you're going to be crossing your fingers around playoff time.
So I would say this: go ahead, Jack.
But aren't you going to be doing that regardless? Like, I don't know if you can build a flawless lineup in today's baseball.
You can't.
Like,
so here's my point to what you're saying. We would all agree. The Padres 2 years ago had a pretty damn good lineup.
Soto, Machado.
Yes.
Tatis. He was hurt.
Was that the year he was hurt?
Yeah.
Still, two pretty good players. Okay, maybe that's not the greatest example. Dodgers have had a good lineup for 3 years straight, 4 years straight. Seem like they have one every year. Yankees have had a good lineup. I only say this to say those hitters must have gone cold, too, in the postseason.
Well, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, like, famously last year, I don't think they got a hit against the Padres or against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, so like they must have gone cold too during that time.
And you still take Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts.
Yes.
Right, but Mookie Betts is better than any player on this team.
I know, but the point is that he still has the ability to go cold and the Dodgers go home.
Any player does.
Yes.
But what I keep hearing about this team is, especially when they were going cold and I was like, this is bad, is they go through these things. They go through these things.
Yeah.
So it definitely is more with them than I would say another roster that is this expensive.
Their biggest thing is they go through these periods where they start chasing. And that's why they try to rectify that all offseason of like, we got to get guys that don't chase as much.
But then
they went right back to it. They tried.
They did it for a little while.
Yes. They might have screwed up. It's why Castellanos got off to a slow start. It's why Stock got off to a slow start. And it permeated. It stayed the whole year.
I just think at some point you have to, if they do not succeed this year, you have to look at what you're spending your money on and ask yourself, is this the best allocation of resources? That's even taking away the mistakes. Let's take away the $16 million for Taijuan Walker and the $8 million for Whit Merrifield. Take those aside and say, are we spending our money the best way we can spend our money, specifically on the lineup? I just think it's a question they may need to ask themselves. So, speaking of a question, why did the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl in 2018 decide to run a play that had Nick Foles as a wide receiver catching a pass? Nick Foles was on Chris Long's podcast and explained that very thing.
Right before this, so there was a timeout. I don't know if you remember watching us all week in practice, but we had a speed option from the shotgun.
Yes.
And every time we butchered it, and it was awful. That was actually the play that was called. And then we called a timeout. And I ran over to the sidelines and asked for Philly Philly. To this day, I have no clue why I asked for Philly Philly. Because it's Philly special. I've thought NFL films, like, and now with artificial intelligence, I know that you can create voiceovers and stuff. So part of me that thinks that could have happened, but in reality, my brain was just probably in a weird state. When Doug and I talked about this, because we were going to rep this against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, but we decided not to, and I just threw a touchdown to Alshon, made it easy, got to save the play. We were going to run this second half to go up by 2 scores, not first half to get up in general. And Doug trusted me enough because he knew me enough to know, Nick is feeling this. Let's execute this. Because he could have overrode this play call. But he pauses and he said, let's do it. And then we run this. And I remember going up there, you know, we had a shift. We had to have like some acting that took some time, like right here. And Lane was the trigger for Kels to snap the ball to Corey. And then, you know, Trey makes a amazing throw. I mean, people don't realize, like, Trey made an awesome throw that made it easy for me. But I was just worried about the DN right here. But the second he went down and I paused and I was out, I was just like, look this ball all the way in and just catch it and tuck it and score. And I didn't realize what this play would be for the city of Philadelphia or even the NFL. I just realized, like, man, this play worked to put us up on the Patriots going into halftime.
It's amazing to me to think about, what if they ran it against the Vikings and they didn't have it against the Patriots, right? Like, right. If they had run it 2 weeks before, yeah. Or 2 weeks or 1 week? 2 weeks
before. 2 weeks before, yep.
Just imagine what happens. They run it there in a game that they were going to win anyway or something. I don't know. Think about how history may be different if they do not run that play in the Super Bowl.
And that's why they say fate is something you just don't tempt, and things don't happen by mistake. They happen for a reason. That was just that was a strange year, man. It just was. It was a year that came out of nowhere. You know, you put that roster together. I can look at that roster on paper and be like, dude, that's a 10-6 team. Right? That was still 16 games back then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can look at that roster on paper and be like, that's a 10-6 team, and hopefully we make the playoffs. I mean, it was Wentz's second year. I wasn't the biggest Alshon fan. Remember when we signed him as a free agent?
I remember.
And I was wrong. They won the Super Bowl, and they would not have won it without him. So, but I'm just saying, I wasn't all that excited about the roster when it came together. We got LeGarrette Blount late. I can remember in training camp and in preseason games, they weren't giving the ball to LeGarrette Blount in a way we thought they should, which was a north-south sort of way. They kept trying to run these stretch plays to the outside with him, and he looked slow. And everybody was like, man, what are we going to do? This is going to be our running back when we go into the season. So there were so many question marks around the team. And that's where the Doug stuff came in, about Jim Schwartz, you know, trying to backstab him for the job. Like, there was a lot of question marks around that team going into the season. And that thing just slowly built, man, and Wentz. I didn't see that coming from him that year. And, man, once it got rolling and snowballing, it was a magical ride. It's part of the reason why I felt confident in saying I think they can go win with Nick Foles. Like, I felt like they had this thing had snowballed enough. There was enough evidence that as long as Nick don't screw this thing up, they could go to the Super Bowl and win it. I didn't say win it. I said go to the Super Bowl.
You know, you talk about Schwartz. I honestly think Doug could have gotten fired the year before. I forget what game it was. It was like two-thirds of the way through the season, and everything was rolling the wrong way.
And then the Bengals game, they, like, quit on him.
Yeah, and I forget which game it was, but I actually just thought if he lost that one game, he gets fired. And then the Super Bowl season probably never happens. It's amazing, the little twists of fate that have to happen.
Well, we're a 61-yard field goal away from starting off 1-2.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot. But the Bengals game in 16, that's when everyone kind of looked like they quit.
Yeah.
Howard asked them post-game, do you believe that your players quit on you? Everyone's out there trying their hardest. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't. I don't think everyone's trying their hardest. And they came back, and I think that was when
they almost beat Baltimore.
They went for two. They went for two.
Yep.
And it was that moment where it was like they still play for them.
Yep.
And that was massive.
Yep.
And that, man, that Vikings game, I remember who was it? Who was the guy I yelled at from Minnesota? Oh, he wasn't from Minnesota. He was an NFL Network guy. He called us that week, and he said he had more faith that Jacksonville would go to New England and beat the Patriots than the Eagles beating the Vikings at home.
Oh, you lost
that when I snapped. Yes. And he was our guest. He was like our expert guest.
You don't care.
Well, yeah. I just felt like that was total disrespect.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, it was just totally being disrespectful.
We will get to Jack's true feelings on the Phillies with the High Hopes.
I forgot all about that.
The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report right
now. You were reminiscing on the good times.
Yeah.
Let's bring it right down.
Well, speaking of good times, we're going to make gold standard good times here in Philadelphia. We always hear gold standard. We think bad, right? We think about something that somebody shouldn't have said. John Ashdale, the Carzar, the team over at Colonial, are going to give you a gold standard experience that you're going to leave a smile on your face. Fast, easy, and better. Fast, over 200 vehicles in stock, so they're going to have whatever you need. Worried about price? They have got over 80 brand new Hyundais on the lot, under $30,000, and they're going to make it easy with financing as low as 0% on select 2024s. They're going to give you $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. And You drive a brand new Hyundai off the lot of Colonial. Everyone comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Shop online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. We have a huge announcement coming up in 15 minutes on WIP, but now let's talk a little baseball with Jack.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So I think part of the reason why I'm so, like, down today, and part of the reason why I snapped on Lawrence in the first segment.
Yeah, it was rough.
Is that for the first time, uh-oh, I really think they're cooked. And, like, I keep looking at them on offense, and it's like, I think that they're just so lost, and they don't know how to get out of this thing. And I mentioned in the first segment, or second segment, like, they're breaking out the curveball machine. Like,
seems like a panic move.
This was the quote, okay?
Yeah.
The Phillies had regular on-field pregame sessions earlier this season with the curveball machine. They have done less work with it on the field in the past 5 weeks, although Thompson said most of the hitters see off-speed pitches in the underground cages before games. But before the Phillies boarded their late-night charter flight to Missouri, Thompson had already decided something. The team would hit on the field against a curveball machine at Kauffman Stadium before Friday's game. First off, why would you go away for it for 5 weeks? You know, like, that's mildly concerning.
Yeah, by the way, the 5 weeks.
Why would you go away from it?
Right, like, the last 5 weeks,
they've been the worst team in baseball the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, but the players obviously don't like doing it.
Yeah.
I don't.
I agree. That's why he went away from it.
Yeah. But, like, at the same time, like, they've been awful against spin for those 5 weeks?
Yep.
Like those 5 weeks? Like, what are we doing? It feels like, and the fact that he's saying we're doing it, was that a Kevin Long decision? Does Kevin Long not like it? Or then he's just like, no, I'm overriding you? Like, that's worrisome. And then, like, even listening to Trey after the game last night, like, it almost feels like that they're lost. Here's Trey Turner talking about what's happening with the top of this lineup.
We just got to get it rolling. I think all of us in general, it's kind of weird that we're all struggling at the same time. Not only when you have a, you know, good lineup, some guys here or there, but it's you know, kind of weird that a lot of us are there.
So how do you look at that? Is that like a concern for you guys with 35 games to play? Or?
I don't think it's a concern. It's more weird, you know, for us. I don't think it's anything, you know, we're necessarily doing wrong. We're preparing. We do all our stuff we normally do. We're, you know, having fun. We got a good mindset. We're just not clicking. And, you know, there's still time left. Obviously, we want to play well. But, you know, it's starting to get to that, you know, point in the season where it's play well or go home type deal. And I don't think we're under any stress or pressure or anything like that. But more so, we want to play well. We know what we're capable of, and we expect it out of ourselves.
Well, I'm glad they're having fun still. And well, it's weird.
And what? Yeah, the weird thing. I guess what worries me about it is that, like, they've had what we have thought as moments. Like, they had the Marsh catch, the miracle catch against Seattle. It's like, there it is. That could be something. They had the Schwarber grand slam. And every time it's like, there it is, there it is, there it is. Then they revert right back. And the thing that is so concerning for me about how they're playing right now is that it looks to me like a team, like, just hoping they win rather than believe they win. And, like, I just, you look at their faces and they just look so defeated. And I just, they look like last year's Eagles, where they got to the point where it's like, they're not going to tackle, they're not going to be good against the blitz, they're going to, and you ram your head against the wall, like, how is this happening? But I have the same feeling watching the Phillies right now as I had at the end of last year's Eagles season.
So you feel like they might be cooked?
I think they might be cooked. Like, I thought the Eagles were cooked last year, and just watching them, like, I think they're cooked.
Well, I certainly hope that's not the case.
Obviously, like, and I say that with, like, I obviously love the Phillies. Like, I would love to be wrong. Like, I want to be wrong. I just, that's how I feel right now, and I've felt it for a little bit. But, like, I feel like I keep trying to lie to myself and say, like, well, their record this, their record, and I just,
well, I'm, I am.
I know, and that's why you're here.
I'll pick up the baton for you. My goodness, go get a drink.
I wish.
Seriously, man. But I will tell you this, though. standing eight count right now. We're at a standing eight count.
I know.
Yeah.
We're at a standing eight
it's
count.
It's close,
right now.
Man.
Yeah, man. Well, we're at a standing eight count.
Been a lot of body blows.
For about two months here. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of.
The quote from Trey was terrible.
Yeah. Well, and I know that's his personality. That's his demeanor. I'm never going to be. I can't. That I can't roll with. I can't roll with the poor me, the somber voice. You're in part seeming like you want a lifeline thrown to you to like don't beat us up too much. We're trying. We just haven't figured it out. It's weird. Don't give up on us. I don't. At some point, somebody has to get pissed. Stop tweeting me. Seriously. About, you know, this isn't football. You can't get all mad and nobody gets passionate. But shut the hell up. You ever think that's part of the issue here? Then maybe somebody should get pissed off.
I agree.
You ever think that's part of the issue? Oh, no, this is baseball. You got to take your time. The manager can't show any emotion. Players don't call a players-only meeting. That stuff doesn't work. Let the guys figure it out. Well, guess what? Rob Thompson is taking your advice. He's letting the guys figure it out, and look where we are. Look where we are. So until we actually start getting pissed off where Spike was at a month ago, I'm tired of making excuses. Like, that's what I'm tired of doing. I can give many, many excuses, but I'm at the point of being mad at the team for letting me down, for disappointing, for not rewarding us for our faith, our consistency of continuing to support the team. See, when you want to continue to support the team and show how great of a fan you are by being supportive and not holding them accountable, guess what they do? They don't feel the pressure and the need to have to go out there and get it done. Because you know why? We're going to love them anyway. We're going to love them anyway. We don't do that with anybody else. We don't do that with the Eagles. We don't do that with the Sixers. We don't do that with anybody else. But for some reason, Sun in the Fun Time, this team, we don't get to a point where we're just tired of it. Well, I've given it long enough. It's August going on September. It's going on September. It's 35 games left. Season's going to be over with the first week into the postseason, and then what? We'll just slyly move over to the Eagles, and I know what we'll do. We want to take all our anger and frustration out on the Eagles because they aren't scoring 30 points a game. They're only scoring 27 a game. But we'll really be mad that the Phillies didn't actually live up to our expectations. But since we like those guys so much, we got to get pissed at Nick Sirianni. We got to get pissed at Jalen. Come on, man. What are we doing? What are we doing here? We're talking about holding each other accountable. It's time for us to hold ourselves accountable. All right.
I got no problem with that. Yeah.
I'm tired of the whole it's relaxed. It'll be okay.
It's not okay. It's been almost 3 months.
Yes.
It's not okay now. And the only other thing, because we have a big announcement coming up at 4 that we have to get to,
uh-huh.
is not only do we want passion out of them, but I do think there is something to when they have those moments, they just think to themselves, all right, everything will be fine now.
Yeah.
And they don't do those little things that they were doing in those first couple of games post-meeting where they were – you have to concentrate. Like, you're not always going to be on a hot streak, and you have to battle through this. And it's going to be harder than it normally is when you're good because it's not going well. And it doesn't seem like they have that commitment to those little things that they need to get through this stuff. All right.
This is trending worse than the Eagles.
Yeah.
Much longer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Eagles season just, you know, they couldn't go much longer.
Right, yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Who knows how long it could have gone.
Yes. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. Is the criticism of Rob Thompson fair or unfair? Fair 69%, unfair 31%. We need to award a...
I know.
Do we not have enough choice?
No, it was only Chuck, I think, we got that.
Who else from the first hour?
Well, Yoshi.
You know what?
Two? Those are only two? We got to go two.
Only two submissions that we've gotten so far.
That's my fault for not going to enough calls.
We got a lot of people coming up, Spike.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yeah, we got a bunch. All right. Coming up next, huge announcement along with the Mount Rush 4. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.